just peace like a river. Overflowing peace within me. I would like to tell you that upon salvation, you've got this total peace that rests upon you forever. You can just be happy and glorious and no problem. It doesn't work that way. When somebody accepts Jesus as Savior, I will always ask them, how do you feel? And it's almost always inevitably, I feel clean. I feel different. I will immediately follow that up with, remember that, because tomorrow you may not. Because our feelers, folks, are not saved. Our feelers are not saved. That is by faith. By faith. We've got to know who we are. The odds are stacked against us, if you will. Other than we have a great and mighty God that watches over us and empowers us. We've got to know who we are in Christ Jesus, what his promises are, so that when this world comes at us, we will be able to know what is the truth and what is the lie. Someone said, when you stop chasing the wrong things, you give the right things a chance to catch it. So often we are bound in our history. We're bound in the things that have happened to us. And we don't give time for the things of God to catch us. Biblically, it would sound like this. When you stop believing the lies of Satan and the world and the ones you're telling yourself, you begin to realize the realities within every born-again child of God. When you stop believing the lies that Satan tells you, stop believing the lies that the world comes upon you and the ones you tell yourself. You begin to realize the reality of every born-again child of God. When you stop looking at yourself and the events through the pages of your past or the fears and anxieties of tomorrow, you begin to move towards the truth available today. Truth available. Someone once said, you can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading your last one. You can't do that. There is a great battle brewing in every born-again child of God. Everyone. It is not unusual at all for me to be roused at 2 or 3 o'clock on a Sunday morning, hearing the voice of, I'm going to say, Satan going, you're not ready, Randy. You're not ready. You're not worthy, Randy. You don't know what you're even going to say, you can't. And I have to say, I know. I know. But I have a great and mighty God that has promised to lead and walk. We see this in the Apostle Paul. A great battle group. This was written towards the end of his life. He knows who the Lord Jesus is. He's seen him work in his life time and time again. He has changed, but look what is happening within him. And I know that nothing good lives inside me, that sinful nature we have. Can't trust it. I want to do what is right, but I can't. You ever been there? I want to do what is right. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing it. It's the sin living within me. Hear Paul say, I am the greatest of all sinners. And I believe he learned that. He said, I'm the one who almost took down the church. I thought I could do that. I am the greatest of all sinners. And this battle was within him just as it is within us. But there is also an enemy longing to stand between you and all that God has provided. And our goal as Christians is to push him aside so that we may see fully into the face of Jesus Christ. There was a time, me and Mike are pretty good friends, and there was a time when they would bring him in at 6:45 in the morning, and Cheryl would get in his face, oh, it's wonderful, how glad, and he would just go, pointing to me. That's what we have to do with Satan. Push him aside. Yes, look in the face of Jesus. That's not right. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. This is what he says. Peter knows the voice of the enemy. He says, be sober. That means clear-minded, alert. Well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. That Greek word devour doesn't mean a quick bite. You're not going to bite him on the butt and go away. That's not what he wants to do. It's overwhelming destruction, like a ship swallowed up by the sea and taken to the bottom. That's what he wants to do in your life. So you must learn to identify that voice. Identify where he wants to take you so that you can take the promises and person of Jesus Christ and offset that. Look at the Garden of Eden as he manipulated Eve. Look at Job's life, but also look in the life of the disciples. Peter, in Luke 22, 31 and 32, Simon, Simon, notice he doesn't use the word Peter. He uses the Greek name for Simon. Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, and he still does that, folks. He longs to sift you as wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Simon, you're going to be tossed out. You cannot even believe. But I pray. Understand, born again child of God, Jesus has prayed for you as well. And here lies the problem. Jesus told Peter truth, and Peter chose to ignore it. Chose to ignore it. Still took his sword, still proudful within himself, and he didn't let the truth be his next step. You know what that is. He denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Something that still stuck on him. Still stuck. When we come up to a train track, we're supposed to stop and look and listen. But folks, there are moments in our lives we need to do the same thing. Stop and look and listen. What are you feeling? Randy, we're not supposed to be governed by feelings. No, but they're there. So what are we feeling? Are we feeling fear and anxiety? Are we feeling strength? What are we feeling? What is the truth? Here's my feelings. Here's the truth. You've got to balance those out. What is your next step? What is your next step? Someone said you don't drown by falling in the water. You drown by staying there. And so often the things and the hurts and the cares and the failures of the past, we stay there. We stay there. We let it drag us down. And then we wonder where the peace of God is at. We carry things that God never expects us to carry because he has forgiven them and carries them for us. I read an article this week that was called 8 Great Lies God's Children Will Face. 8 Great Lies. And we're going to look at them. We're going to look at the lie. We're going to look at what that can do to us. I don't know if we're going to get through all 8 or not, but I promise to get you out before the white chicken is gone and cake late, okay? And if you don't know what that means, ask Jerry. We will all face some, if not all, of these, okay? No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how long you've been studying Scripture, no matter what that is. The first one, the magazine did a survey, and these are what they found. The first one, I am powerless. You've been there? I am powerless. One of the greatest lies is that there's no hope for change. I will be frank with you. Sometimes our circumstances do not change. That does not mean we're powerless. Our circumstances may not change, but there's a power that can come into the believer's life that allows them to walk through that with great glory and to honor the Lord Jesus Christ and to be a witness for him. But if you're just looking at it, there's no power. Once circumstances are so bleak that no progress can be made, no change can occur, nothing can happen. And this belief leads believers to feeling hopeless and defeated before the battle even begins. Truth. Philippians 4:13. I can do, endure, withstand, walk through all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. In those times in which defeat seems to be in your mind and that you're hopeless, remember this verse. There's the truth. I can. Regardless of what the circumstances is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Regardless of what the event looks like, God is working in you to will, which means to go through it as He prescribes for His glory and for your good pleasure. I am powerless. My past will forever define me. Your past does not have to define you. It's there. It won't go away. What are you going to do with it, Christian? You can let it sit there and fester, or you can allow God to do some, to use some of His grace. The shame that comes from failure, past mistakes, or trauma often leads to guilt and shame. I read about this a lot from women who have had abortions. The shame they carry. They don't even want to admit that to their Christians because they feel like they will be judged, and truthfully some will. But folks, there is forgiveness. Or the trauma of abuse growing up. Or the failures of the past mistakes. Folks, God has forgiven us of that. And we don't have to carry those any longer. Yes, they will be on our mind. Yes, they will influence the way we think. But so often it's like we have a burlap sack full of rocks. And we put it over our shoulder and we walk through life with all of that guilt. The lie teaches that people that their past actions will forever dictate their current and future situations. It's a danger that individuals remain stuck, rehashing and replaying pain without learning from it, without giving it up. Whereas Christianity stresses that transformative power of forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Accept the forgiveness that God has given you. Accept the forgiveness that He has placed within you. You don't have to carry the burden of all of the guilt and the shame from things of the past. My past will define me. What is the truth? Isaiah 61 verse 3. To all who mourn in Israel, He will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for His glory. Hear what He says. I can use that. I can use that. I have planted you in that moment. But I will grow you into something great and marvelous. For my glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. No matter what your past is, folks, you are a brand new person in Christ Jesus. And you've got to grasp that. Because if not, my past will forever define me, will drag you down. You will miss the strength and the blessing that God can use through that. Number 3. Wealth, success, and status are what make me happy. That is what is taught in some churches, folks. Some churches. In our materialistic society, there is what is taught and glorified, but they are no lasting happiness or peace. If I could just have one more thing. Rich Mullins had a song like that. We ask God to bless us, but what we're asking for is just one more thing. Just one more thing. Someone said to a billionaire once, how much more money do you need? The response was this. One more. Just one more. The thought of possessing more wealth, receiving more praise, and achieving greater status in the eyes of the world is constantly fed to people, especially our young people. But this is the highest calling and source of happiness. The bigger your bank account, the more happiness you have. The more that you're noticed, the more happiness you have. But according to Christian teaching, peace and contentment are found in God alone. God alone. Is there anything wrong with wealth, Randy? No. Is there anything wrong with success? Absolutely not. God uses and places people in that. What about being known and loved by masses of people? Nothing wrong with that. If it's for the praise and glory of God alone.
Amen.
True. Matthew 16:26. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You got all of this wealth, got all of this fame, you got all of this status, but you die not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, you die. The greatest of all billionaires. Trillionaire now. When they die, you still die like we do. They die with nothing. Nothing. Can you imagine? I'm going to use Elon Musk here. I do not know his religious stuff. But can you imagine him coming before the throne of God going, "But I'm Elon Musk. But I'm Jesus of Nazareth." That's called a trump card, guys. Call a trump card. 1 John 2:16-17. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, that's wealth, success, and status, is not from the Father. If that's what you're searching for and seeking and wanting, it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. That's the truth. I hear this some today as I read. God no longer works through people. This was what the children of Israel's children said to them. Where is the God that separated the sea? I don't see him. Where is the God that provided manna? We've not seen that God. Where is the God that did all these marvelous things that our grandfathers told us about? I don't see him. That's what's going on today. Where is the God of miracles? See, if people believe miracles and direct intervention in the lives of men and humanity occurred only in biblical times, their faith is weakened significantly. In other words, they're saying this: God doesn't work in our world today any longer. God is not at work. And your faith is weakened. It's easy to get see that. Folks, he's not going to rain another flood down on the world. He's told us he's not going to do that. He's not going to operate exactly the same as he did in the past. That will not work today. He's going to do something marvelous and different. As you look at the news, it's very easy to get distrustful, fearful at times. Where is God when all of this is going on? The same place he was back then on his throne, working his will. Well, Randy, where's this going to wind up? It's going to wind up with the Lord Jesus coming, places his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, and then he's going to take us up forever to be with him. That's where we're going.
Amen.
Never lose sight of that.
Amen.
And God is still working today. Christian doctrine teaches the opposite, that the Lord is an eternal, constant being and remains just as active now as he was when he first created the world. Just as active. Those who accept the lie lose hope and become disheartened when difficulties arise because they no longer expecting God to do anything. What do you expect from your God? Isn't that a great question? What do you expect? I expect you to take care of all my problems. You're in for a rough time. I expect my God to give me the strength to endure. I expect my God to present me faultless before Him with great joy. I expect my God to use me as He sees fit according to His will. So what's the truth? Hebrews 4:18, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God has not changed. He has not changed. John 7:17, Jesus replied, "My Father is always working, and so am I." That's the truth. And you've got to take that lie and place the truth beside it. And I ask you, what do you believe? I cannot change. I cannot change. Whether referring to bad habits or personality traits that need to be adjusted, it's common to feel that a personal change is simply impossible. It's a lie that paralyzes and leads to complacency. Ask a true alcoholic how difficult it is be sober. Ask them how many times they have attempted that and how many times they have failed. The one who overcomes that is the one who keeps getting back up and trying again under God's power. Ask that person that. How did you do that? Perseverance. The promise of transformation is at the heart of Christian faith. "I cannot change" is not found in Scripture. Change may be slow and require patience and persistence. George Foreman, a great philosopher, he said these words, "Ain't no shame to get knocked down. Shame to stay down." Shame to stay down.
Amen.
You get back up and you get, once again, get on the path that God has for you and you try again and you try again. Change is slow, patience, and persistence. It is attainable only through the relationship of Jesus Christ. So let's put the truth beside it. Philippians 1:6, "I am convinced and confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue to perfect and complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus, the time of his return." I am convinced that he will do what he says he's going to do. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Where is the Spirit of the Lord today? All born-again children of God, do this.
Amen.
There is freedom that he has placed within you. "And we all, with unveiled face, behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed." Transformed. It's the idea of this, let's read on, "in the same image from one degree to another." The idea is this is like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Gets in the cocoon, and all of a sudden, it basically dies in the cocoon. But there's a disc in that caterpillar. And once that caterpillar's old self has dissolved, that disc takes over, and it begins to create the butterfly or the moth. And when it comes out, folks, it is not an ugly caterpillar. It is a marvelous creation of that you could not see. You didn't know where it came from. It's changed little by little. We want massive change. "Oh God, give me all the strength I need today." You do have strength, but it's little by little. "Oh God, let me just experience your peace." It's there. It's available. little by little. And you're going to wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and Satan's voice is going to tell you how dirty, rotten, and terrible you are, and God will never do anything with you. Understand that voice and lay aside beside it the truth that is found in God's word. I hear this a lot today. The Bible is not completely true and accurate. Now, doubts may rise within you in certain instances. But God really? He really sent the flood? You have to deal with that. Did God really? Why does God do this in the Old Testament? You have to deal with some of that. But this claim is that the Bible is not true at all. You can't look at it. Instead, it rejects the entirety of Scripture as being unreliable, inaccurate, and even irrelevant in our lives. You can't trust it. Isn't that what Satan did to Eve in the garden? You can't trust God's word. Trust your eyes. Trust your desires. Not what God said. Understand that as a born-again child of God, the word of God is our ultimate source of spiritual guidance. Folks, it is all true, or you can't trust any of it.
Amen.
Say it again. You got those who want to pick out certain things that they like. Like grace. Oh, I like grace. I like love. I'd love to be able to preach on grace every single Sunday. And you would hear in about 2 Sundays everything I know about it. It is either all true or you can't fully trust anyone. The same God who said that in John 3:16, that I loved you and sent my only begotten Son, is the same God that says, thou shalt not do adultery. The same God. You shall not kill. You shall not grieve. The same God who said, you can't separate them. And if you begin to do that, it leaves your foundation shaken. So what's the truth? Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. What are you going to do when all of a sudden you're scrolling through your favorite social media and here's a picture of something that they have discovered that completely disproves the scripture? What are you going to do? Randy says it's AI generated. Doesn't matter what they say. God's word has got to be your foundation. John 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying for you before he goes to the cross. Make them holy by your truth. Not by your actions, by your truth. Teach them your word, which is true. I'm hearing this along too. Being a good person is all I need to do. I got to balance the scales. That's what they're saying. If I do enough good stuff to offset the bad stuff, then hey, I'm going to heaven. Kindness, charity, honesty, these qualities are valued. But Christianity teaches that good works are not enough. Not enough. Salvation is a gift of grace that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and we cannot earn God's favor. It is only through salvation and forgiveness is only through the cross of Jesus Christ. That's it. We grow in discipleship, and we should grow in kindness and charity and honesty, but our salvation is firmly planted in the grace, unmerited favor, that you have not earned through Jesus Christ. If you believe that lie, it gives us a false sense of security. It leads to being complacent in sexual, spiritual matters, focusing more on outward appearances than our internal relationship with God. The truth, Isaiah 64, verse 6, we are all infected and impure with sin. Amen? Yeah, I didn't think you'd say amen to that. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. I didn't say that. Don't look at me like that. God said that. When you raise up what you think is your righteous deeds before God, they're just filthy rags. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved. Through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one can boast. When we stand before a holy, righteous God, give an account for our life, the only thing you can see, I'm accepted because of Jesus. That's it. That's it. I am not truly and completely forgiven. My past is so bad that there's no way God can completely forgive me. That is a human way of looking at things. Even after receiving a sense of forgiveness, guilt and shame may persist in an individual's heart. I just don't see how God can forgive me for all the things of my past. I understand that. And this lie maintains these feelings by telling you that God cannot truly forget your sins. He does not forget your sins. He just chooses that they don't come into the relationship anymore. And therefore, you must continue to carry the burden. I am saved. I am going to be in His presence. I'm going to be in heaven. But I'm carrying my past on my back the rest of my life. And this has the feeling of continually being downtrodden and drained as a result of holding on to what has freely been given. You are forgiven of the sins of your past. Circumstances may flow, they still may be there, but you do not have to carry the burden of that sin any longer because Jesus bore that on the cross. Forgiven. Forgiven is total and complete. Past, present, and future. Forgiven. According to the scriptures, believers have been pardoned through Christ. Truth. Put the truth alongside that. Hebrews 8:12. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Amazing. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed, complete and total. Does not mean you will not deal with the things of your past, but you deal with it through your forgiveness, not the sins. Eight of them. Some of you have some of those. Or you know someone who does. Someone said, whatever you fill your brain with and whoever you spend your time with will determine your life a decade from now. So what you're struggling with right now has input. You're basically setting your future. Proverbs 4:23 says it like this. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And someone else said, when values are clear, decisions are easy. When values are clear, when truth is clear, decisions. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the clarity of your word, and I thank you for the spirit that is here this morning, and I pray that you do a wonder in the heart of the people here. That, Father, that they may see the glorious salvation we have is not just the forgiveness of sins, is to be able to walk in the purity of the Spirit of God in relationship with the word that you have given us. I can't do that for them. Truthfully, they can't do that for themselves. But your Spirit can in their lives when they stand firmly upon the word of God. And Lord, there's some here that have tried so many times, through so many years. It's kind of like that living sacrifice that just keeps coming off your altar. I pray that this morning you give a sense of purpose and strength and security in who we are in Christ Jesus, and that I will determine now to begin to be your disciple so that I can learn more of what you have provided. Give us strength, give us wisdom, give us determination. Father, if there's one here who does not know you as Savior, give us salvation. For your glory alone, and I pray this. Amen.